Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason, and I will be guiding you on this journey through DC's main man, Lobo. So, let me get my disclaimers out of the way, get some stuff taken care of, and we will get into it. So the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can always catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can also catch me on YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. YouTube is absolutely the best way to reach me. I post superhero memes videos every day. I post weekly meme reviews. I post the deep dives. It's a lot of fun. Please subscribe, comment, like, all that good stuff. Hit your notification bell, whatever you need to do. You can also email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. Now, I do get frequent emails from people with requests for future episodes, things I may have missed on superheroes or things they like. If you want, feel free to add those in on YouTube. I love seeing back and forth with the communication with other fans and stuff. It's a lot of fun, especially when you guys have like a great idea for a character, and then someone likes it, they agree, and they add on, and it kind of builds from there. That's so much fun when that happens. So I strongly encourage it. All right. Now, superhero fun fact. Lobo was first introduced as a hardened villain in the 1980s, but he soon fell out of use with the writers. He remained in limbo until his revival as a bounty hunter with his own comic in the early 1990s. Writers attempted to use Lobo as a parody in the 1990s trend towards grim and gritty superhero stories, but he was instead enthusiastically accepted by fans of the trend. So it's kind of funny, he was put out there originally to just be kind of like a mock or a joke character, and people really latched onto him, and he became arguably one of DC's like most popular heroes that's not considered mainstream. So, there's that. Alright, so Lobo. Lobo is a Zarnian with exceptional strength and fortitude. He enjoys nothing better than mindless violence and intoxication and taking care of people as an end in itself. His name roughly translates as he who devours your entrails and thoroughly enjoys it. I thought it meant wolf, but I'm not as fluent, I guess, in Zarnian. He's arrogant and self-centered, focusing almost solely on his own pleasures, although he proudly lives up to the letter of his promises, but always no more or no less than what he promised. Lobo is the last of his kind, having taken care of all the other Zarnians by doing it for fun. As detailed in Lobo Number Zero, Lobo unleashed a violent plague of flying scorpions upon his homeworld, taking care of most of its citizens. And I'm trying to use good YouTube-friendly, algorithm-friendly language, so to speak. Now, physically, Lobo resembles a chalk-white human male with generally blood-red pupilless eyes and blackened eyelids. Like many comic book characters, Lobo's body is highly muscular, though his initial appearances were much leaner and less bulky compared to his later drawings. Originally portrayed with neatly trimmed purple-gray hair, this was soon redesigned as a gray mane. Later, a long, straggly, gray-black rocker hair, dreadlocks, and more recently, a pompadour. Similarly, the orange and purple leotard he wore in his first few appearances, because he was just a throwaway character, was replaced by black leather biker gear and was later replaced with both the robes of his office as a putative archbishop and pirate-themed gear, then later a sleeveless flight suit or jumpsuit, and his arsenal includes numerous guns and titanium chain with a hook on his right arm. Extra weapons may include frag grenades and giant carving blades. Now, Lobo has a strict personal code of honor that he will never violate the letter of an agreement, saying on Superman the Animated Series, the main man's word is his bond. Although he may gleefully disregard its spirit, he is surprisingly protective of space dolphins, some of which he feeds from his home. A few have been taken care of on separate incidences, but he avenges with his usual violence. Now, Lobo's friends include Dog, a bulldog he often claims is not his when it gets into trouble. Jonas Glimm, a fellow bounty hunter, Ramona, a bail bondswoman and hairdresser, of course, and Guy Gardner, whose friendship was cemented when Lobo came by Guy's bar Warriors, where he gave Guy one of his space hogs and the skull of the Tormach leader, Bronk. Wow. Wow. So Lobo makes his way around, doesn't he? Now, Dog is stomped by Lobo in Lobo Volume 2, number 58, in which he again claims to Superman that the dog is not his. This is for the final time. Now, somehow, Dog later appears alongside Lobo when Lobo goes to Earth to fight Green Lantern and Atrocitus. Atrocitus? Atrocitus? I don't know how to pronounce the name. Atrocitus! Okay. His enemies include the do-gooder superhero parody Gold Star, Lou, Viril Drox, Bloodhound, Etrigan the Demon, and General Glory. Lobo generally tries to take care of anyone he is hired to capture, including his fourth grade teacher named Miss Trib, his children Santa Claus and Dog. Or his children, Santa Claus and Dog. His children weren't Santa Claus. Just had to make sure that's known. Although his main targets are Superman and Deathstroke, Lobo frequents a restaurant called Al's Diner, where he often flirts with Al's only waitress, Darlene Spritzer. Though Lobo protects these two from frequent danger, he does not seem to understand the distress caused by his tendency to destroy the diner. Al and Darlene later prosper due to Lobo's appetite for destruction. He destroys the city except for the diner, leaving hordes of construction workers with only one place to eat lunch. And he also ends up destroying the diner Al gives to him as part of a birthday celebration. Wow. Okay. So the last revelation of Lobo and the diner appears in the pages of Lobo Volume 2, number 1 million, which was back in 1998. He's done many more adventures since then. Now, where his last adventures is depicted, by the time of the action, he is already morbidly obese and working as a carnival attraction, scaring tourists into leaving their money behind. Then, a sexy client appears to offer him one last job, finding a legendary evildoer named Mello Perverso. At the prospect of a last well-paid job and a chance to score with the client, Lobo quickly agrees, and he again invades the diner to use their Tesseract teleporter to reach his gear. It's revealed then that the client is none other than Darlene, who wanted to see him back in his prime rather than see him sink even deeper into sloth. Well, that's what good friends do, right? They dress up in sexy gear and get you on a mission. Makes sense to me. Alright, after reaching his gear, Lobo invades the HQ of the International Justice Legion. This is the International Justice Legion wannabes, and crushes all opposition to hack their files on Mello Perverso. There, he is attacked by Perverso himself, who then reveals himself to be Clayman, the team shapeshifter who admits he impersonated Perverso to get rid of Lobo. Clayman also squeals that the real Perverso went into a black hole. I bet he did. Lobo, still eager to find his bounty, goes into the black hole. Ironically, due to Lobo's interference in a planetary conflict in the same issue, Al later gets a package through the Tesseract for Lobo, which promptly blows the diner up yet again. At one point, Lobo has trouble with a clone of himself that had survived previous misadventures. A battle between the two makes it unclear which one of them actually survived. Now, some fans conclude that the original Lobo was the victor, since later in the series, Lobo removes a miniature radio, which he had surgically implanted in his head sometime before the clone fight, and only organic matter can be cloned. That makes sense. I'll buy that, yeah. Now, the characters participated in several money-making schemes, such as being a priest and being a pop rock idol. Most of these schemes tend to end with the violent deaths of nearly everyone involved. He has many friends among the bounty hunter world, though many tend to die when they are around Lobo, either by his hand or the hands of the enemies he faces, so they just end up being collateral damage. Now, Lobo acts as an independent bounty hunter until tricked by Vril Dox into nominally joining his interstellar police force Legion. However, he continues solo activity, which seems to often bring him to Earth and in conflict with its heroes, or as in one case, base indifference. He remains loyal to Vril Dox after Legion leadership is usurped by Dox's son until an altercation between Lobo and Dox prompts Dox to release Lobo from his service. After this, Lobo becomes a full-time bounty hunter again. So he's loyal because he gave his word. Is basically what it is. Like, the guy can be wrong, the guy can lose his job legitimately, but because Lobo gave his word, he's going to be in there as long as he has to be. Now, in the year 2000, a magical accident transforms Lobo into a teenager. In this condition, he joins Young Justice and eventually accompanies them to Apocalypse, where he is actually taken care of in combat. However, the aforementioned magical accident has restored his ability to grow clones from a single drop of blood, and millions of Lobos rush into battle against the Apocalyptan soldiers, whom the Lobos quickly defeat. The Lobos then turn on each other until only one is left, and in the process, the surviving Lobo regrows to adulthood. His time as a member of Young Justice becomes a distant memory, and an additional weaker teenage Lobo with yellow eyes remained. However, having hidden from the fight, he rejoins Young Justice and chooses to rename himself Slobo, like it's Lobo. Eventually, his clone begins to degrade, becoming blind and degenerating to the brink of death. Before he can die, however, Darkseid teleports him to the headquarters of Young Justice 1 million in the 853rd century, turning him into a statue, fully conscious and aware in the process. When Lobo later encounters Robin and Wonder Girl again as members of the Teen Titans, he demonstrates no recollection of them or their history together, demonstrating that he has indeed forgotten his time as their teammate. Now, in the 2006 miniseries 52, Lobo reappears after an extended hiatus. He encounters a group of heroes consisting of Adam Strange, Animal Man, and Starfire, which we did deep dives on Animal Man and Starfire. They're pretty good. You should check them out. And they all find themselves stranded in space after the events of the Infinite Crisis storyline. To everyone's surprise, he does not take care of them. Lobo professes to have found religion, becoming the spiritual leader of the whole of Sector 3500, which was left in shambles by a still unknown assailant. He is the current caretaker of the Emerald Eye of Ekron, and after helping the Lost Heroes defeat Lady Styx, he brings the Emerald Eye to the triple-headed Fish God, who agrees to release Lobo from his vow of non-violence in exchange. When told that the Emerald Eye is the only thing that can kill the Fish God, Lobo blasts him with it. Because why not, right? Now, Lobo appeared in Deadly Serious, a two-part crossover miniseries with Batman in August of 2007, and in addition, Lobo has fought the Teen Titans and Blue Beetle in their respective titles to stop a rocket for the Reach, in which he failed. In the Reign in Hell miniseries, it's revealed that Lobo's soul was still in Hell following a deal he made with Neron during the 1995 Underworld Unleashed storyline. Lobo's suffering was enough to power Neron's whole castle. Lobo was later freed from his prison in a battle between Etrigan the Demon and Blue Devil, and he went on a rampage through hell to seek revenge on Neron. To buy time to fully recover before battling Lobo, Etrigan stole Blue Devil's soul and informed him that he would have to fight Lobo to get it back. During Lobo's rampage, he cut off Zatara's head, forcing his daughter Zatanna to send him to the Abyss, the Soul Death. Later, Lobo is shown aiding the JLA during their mission into Hell, where he helps Fire defeat the god Plutus. In the 20,000 Tent Brightest Day storyline, Lobo appears on Earth to capture a bounty on Atrocitus, the Red Lantern dude, on his head. After fighting Hal Jordan, Carol Ferris, and Sinestro, he then flees. It's later revealed that the fight was staged by the Atrocitus himself. As a payment, Lobo is given a Red Lantern ring. Now, still wearing his red ring on a chain around his neck, Lobo is recruited from a bar by Vril Dox, who requires his help battling his father, Brainiac, and Pulsar Stargrave, a captured weapon. Even losing his space hog, Lobo saves the planet Kolu, but with Brainiac and Pulsar Stargrave escaping. Lobo became a senior member of Vril Dox's Legion based on the planet Ran, and Lobo was a key to defeating Starro the Conqueror and his lieutenants, ensuring security for Ran, the Vega system, and the galaxy. Unknown to Lobo, the Saiyans had created clones of Lobo attempting to bring back the Zarnian race, which could make them unstoppable, but the series ended before this was played out. So somewhere out there, there's a potential army of Lobos, and they've just dropped it. That's insanity right there. We need that army of Lobos. I would love to see an army of Lobos fighting an army of Doomsdays. How epic would that be? That's not one of my final ideas for him, but that should be. That would be amazing. Alright. In 2016, DC Comics implemented another relaunch of its books called DC Rebirth, which restored its continuity in a form much as it was prior to the New 52. Lobo debuts in Justice League vs. Suicide Squad as one of the villains freed by Maxwell Lord, evidently restored in his pre-New 52 persona. He's a member of Amanda Waller's first squad, and after Lobo regenerates it, he discovers Batman did so to free him from Lord's control, and he later accepts Batman's offer to join a new incarnation of the Justice League to repay the favor. In Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, the New 52 incarnation of Lobo is shown to be held captive inside one of Brainiac 2.0's bottles. Guy Gardner almost frees him before Hal Jordan grabs the bottle and tells him it's better to leave him on the shelf. That's right, let's not let that wave go. But what do you guys think? Like, every story he's been in, he has just wrecked shop. Like, this dude is insane, and I love every bit of it. But I want to know what you guys think. So if you're catching me on YouTube, it's Superhero Deep Dive. Leave a comment. Let me know. You can email me directly as well at b4itall@yahoo.com. So it's b4itall@yahoo.com. And yeah, you can catch me on X and Instagram. You can always send me instant messages. I get those not very frequently, but I do get them from time to time at Super Deep Dive. And I'm also on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. But I'd love to know what you guys think. In the meantime, though, let me get to his powers. So in all comic books, Lobo is portrayed as a ruthless bounty hunter. He only has one rule. Once he takes a contract, he finishes it no matter what, even if it means risking injury. If he has a counter contract for even more money, then he will fulfill the new one. Now, Lobo possesses extraordinary strength and undefined limits. His strength, much like his other powers, varies greatly depending on different artistic interpretations and various writers. In some instances, he's depicted as being barely stronger than a human, while in others, he demonstrates physical strength on a level similar to Superman. Now, I've always known him as being as strong as Superman, basically. So, you know, I don't know. He has shown to be a match in strength for Etrigan and the Demon each time that they have met. Now, Lobo also possesses superhuman durability, which varies greatly too. Lobo is depicted in some situations as being injured by conventional bullets, while in other situations he has the physical resiliency to stand toe-to-toe with Superman, survive unprotected in deep space, and withstand high-level destructive weaponry and powerful explosive blasts without sustaining injury. He's displayed particularly susceptible to gaseous chemicals, and in one instance, Lobo was declared immortal. After he died, went to hell, and proved too much for the demons, and when he was then sent to heaven, he wreaked so much havoc that he was permanently banished from the afterlife. That is awesome. That is awesome. And it's simply because he can't die because no one wants him in the afterlife. That's awesome. All right, so if Lobo sustains injury, his accelerated healing factor enables him to regenerate damaged or destroyed tissue with superhuman speed and efficiency and little apparent pain. Lobo is also functionally immortal. He's immune to the effects of aging and disease, and as such, even though he can sustain sufficient injury to be out of commission for quite some time, he'll apparently heal from any injury given sufficient time. For instance, Lobo can regenerate out of a pool of his own blood, apparently recycling the cells. That's pretty insane, right? I think he might have Deadpool on that one. He's a formidable combatant with expertise in multiple forms of armed and unarmed combat. His favorite weapon is a large titanium alloy chain with a large gutting hook connected at the end, often referred to as the garrote. He keeps wrapped around his right wrist. At times, he also uses high-grade explosive and advanced firearms. Now, despite his violent and loudish nature, Lobo seems to have a genius-level intellect in matters of destruction and violence. He can create complex virulent agents and the corresponding antidotes. In one version of his backstory, he released such a plague on Zarnia as a school science project. This resulted in the deaths of the entire population in the span of 1 week. He then proceeded to give himself an A. Well, you know, at least he followed through with the grade, right? His vehicle, some sort of space-faring motorcycle called the Space Hog, often accompanies him. It is of his own design and, despite its size, is capable of extended and speedy travel throughout the space. Further, it protects those in its immediate vicinity from the hazards of space and somehow permits the ability to breathe and speak. He was also able to scavenge parts from a destroyed time hopper and attach them to his own bike, producing a working time machine. Lobo is also fluent in many alien languages and extremely knowledgeable in the location and cultures of worlds without external references. Lobo is known for his awkward behavior and his love for cigars, and was once known to destroy an entire planet for not finding the cigar of his liking. And you know, I can get that. I understand that. Now, it's not fully known the extent of which his powers are common for its race or unique to him. In the miniseries The Last Zarnian and elsewhere, it is stated that cloning and healing abilities are traits possessed by all Zarnians, as is the apparent ability to survive in the vacuum of space. Before the reboot, though, Lobo was granted a Red Lantern power ring during its Brightest Day storyline. So yeah, fun facts. During the Amalgam Comics universe, Lobo is crossed with Howard the Duck to become Lobo the Duck. Lobo appears in a series set in the DC Animated Universe. Due to the broadcast standards and practices, this version's self-healing and advanced senses are not shown, and his gutting hook is not used in combat. That's probably smart. Let's see, Lobo first appears in Superman the Animated Series, and in his most notable appearance in the two-part episode The Main Man, the alien called the Preserver hires him to capture Superman and add him to the Preserver's collection. He's been in Justice League, he's been in Superman the Animated Series, he made a cameo appearance in Legion of Superheroes, He's been in Young Justice, Justice League Action. He appears in the second season of Krypton. Let's see here. There's been a lot. Andrew Bryniarski as Lobo in an AFI student film, the Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special. I don't know if that's on YouTube. Let me see. Let's. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't had a field trip in a long time. Let's do a field trip. Let's go to the Tube of U's. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special. The Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special. It is 13 and a half minutes. It was posted 12 years ago. It is there. That's awesome. That's awesome. I will probably be checking that out after this episode. All right. Let's see what else is there. In 2002, Scott Leverett directed a film adaptation of Lobo called The Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special as part of the American Film Institute's Director Study Special. Okay, the film was made with a budget of $2,400, although many professionals donated time and effort. Okay, that's fine. Let's see here. In September of 2009, Warner Brothers announced that Guy Ritchie would direct a live-action adaptation of Lobo. Guy Ritchie would be a great, great director for Lobo. Or Tarantino would be a great director for Lobo. Oh man, we need to have Tarantino do that one too. But, okay, the premise is Lobo is a 7-foot-tall, blue-skinned, indestructible, blue-skinned, what? And heavily muscled anti-hero who drives a pimped-out motorcycle and lands on Earth in search of 4 fugitives who are bent on wreaking havoc. Lobo teams with a small-town teenage girl to stop the creatures. You're losing me. You're losing me. Okay. Whatever. I'm just gonna let that be. Let's see here. And it didn't get made. Let's see here. And later in February of 2008, Michael Bay was attached to direct the film after being inspired by the success of Tim Miller's Deadpool film. Has not gone anywhere, though. A film of Lobo was pitched by Jason Momoa himself to DC Studios CEO James Gunn, with Momoa to portray the character recently, since Momoa will no longer be under contract after the Aquaman film that came out. It's pretty obvious that Jason Momoa would be a perfect Deadpool, visually. So, yeah. Let's see here. Lobo appears in LEGO DC Comics Superheroes Aquaman Rage of Atlantis. In a mid-credit scene of LEGO DC Shazam Magic and Monsters. He appears in DC Superhero Girls Intergalactic Games. And he appears in the film set in the Tomorrowverse continuity. I don't know what that is off the top of my head. Lobo appears in Superman, Man of Tomorrow, and Justice League War World. He's a downloadable, playable character in Injustice Gods Among Us. He appears as a playable character in LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Gotham, a playable character in DC's Unchained, an unlockable character in DC LEGO Supervillains. Appears in Justice League Cosmic Chaos, appears in the novel DC Universe Last Sons, and appears in Green Lantern, the animated series number 13. Okay, so he's made a bunch of appearances here and there. But what are my final thoughts? Like, what would I do with the character? Now, Lobo is a cool character through and through. But in fact, I would say that if it hasn't been said already, that a lot of Deadpool's personality was actually inspired by Lobo. I said what I said. I could be wrong, but I believe Lobo was first and was doing this stuff. But, you know, we can't do a Lobo movie in the same vein as Deadpool, can we? Because it's going to be too much of a copy. Now, Jason Momoa was wanting to do Lobo, and he's going to be the best person for it. Like, hands down. It's almost an insult to look elsewhere. He's got the look, almost as if he was specifically made for that role, in the same way that, like, Robert Downey Jr. was perfectly suited for Iron Man. You know, like, anyone else being Iron Man would have been an insult. Especially if you read the comics before, when you saw him, you're like, yep, Robert Downey Jr. is this guy. Kind of like Patrick Stewart being Professor X. You know, like, they're it's like the characters are modeled after him inadvertently. So with that said, what would the story be? I'd be worried about having him interact with too much of the DC universe, but maybe he could do something leading into the DC universe. Like for instance, maybe he's being the intergalactic bounty hunter and doing his thing with some no-name people. It doesn't have to be a big bad guy in it. Like, he can just be hunting people down. Like, just busting heads and wisecracking. But there could be some things to connect him to the DC universe. Like, say, another one of those scarabs from Blue Beetle. Because I think they said Blue Beetle was going to be considered in the new continuity. I could be wrong, because a lot of things have gone back and forth. There's been a lot of things said, and I really have no idea what's fact or fiction anymore with it. But, like, yeah, there could be one of the scarabs, you know, that connects it to Blue Beetle, but doesn't directly interact with it. Or maybe he passes by Oa. And from the Green Lanterns, or, you know, there's some references to the Phantom Zone or Krypton, something like that. You know, like, there's stuff that could be done that he, with him being a galactic hero or anti-hero, bounty hunter, whatever character, he can have interactions with things relating to that, which will connect him into the DC universe without having to be intertwined with everyone. But, you know, nothing that would, like, bring him in direct contact, but things that would show that he is in the same universe, I think that would be cool. Like, after all, with all these heroes, they don't all have to interact with each other, right? Like, they can simply exist and maybe cross paths, but they don't have to be in each other's direct circles. Like, what do you guys think? Would something like that work? That's one thing that always got me in the movies, you know, in the MCU. Everyone has to be connected, you know. We need something. We need this. And, oh, well, let's go and talk to Daredevil. And, you know, Peter Parker has found out he needs a lawyer. Let's get Matt Murdock, because they're not even in the same part of New York. You know, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, except it's just the cameo and the cash grab. But I think that there's a lot of story out there that where people don't have to cross paths because it's out of their purview. Like, if something were to happen in space, I wouldn't expect to see Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman up there, like, flying around like, oh, I was wondering what's going on. No, you weren't. You were hanging around some mall. Like, you didn't have anything to do with that. We don't need to do that. But I want to know what you guys think. Let me know. Like I said, if you catch me on YouTube, it's Superhero Deep Dive. Leave a comment, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Let's have a discussion. And let's invite others into the discussion too. All I ask is that you be respectful. And if you have requests for future episodes, let me know. But you can also catch me on Instagram and X under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. Now, you can email me directly if you want, and that's fine. I get emails frequently from, like, up to 10 different people. I get emails pretty frequently. And that's fine. Like, I like having conversations with you guys. But it's b4itall@yahoo.com. But guys, I think that's going to do it for me here. I would love to know what you would do with a character like Lobo, because he's awesome. But I think the thing that would make him even better or to keep him at the same level of awesome that he is not having to deal with everyone else in the DC universe, you know? I'll let him have his own stuff that's in the same universe, just not intertwined. That's my theory. But guys, I'm going to head out. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is safe. And I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.